of you know that in another life, before Spirit got a hold of me and said, you're going to be a Unity minister, I was in theater in New York City. I was a dancer, actress, singer. That's kind of how my resume read. But I also did some commercial work, and I took some classes in commercial acting. It's very different. And the one very important thing that I learned, which keeps coming back to me again and again in this life as a minister, is the secret, I was told, is in sharing the good news. Right? We all have good news to share. And even if it's, my clothes were dingy and yellow. But the good news is that this laundry detergent made all the difference. And now my clothes are bright and my life is perfect, you know? Sharing the good news. That's what it's all about. You know, and if you go into an audition, they want to see that you're sharing the good news. They don't want to hear about all the challenges that you've got and why your life is the way it is because your clothes are yellow and dingy. No. They want to know that their product has made a difference. And so that's what we're all here to do. The important thing is, if you want the job, is in sharing the good news. And so unity as a spiritual path is sharing the good news, isn't it? I think it is. I think it's sharing the good news all the time. And if we can have a spiritual, if our spiritual path leads us into a deeper understanding of the presence and power of God as infinite love, that's pretty good news, isn't it? Why wouldn't we want to share it? Why wouldn't we want to share that great news? You know, I believe that in unity, we have a really unique message. And I think that the thing that makes unity so unique are two things. The first thing is, I think this is huge, the absence of suffering and sacrifice. Aren't you glad that we don't? Our belief system doesn't include that? Yeah, you know, the more, because I grew up in a belief system like that, that the more you suffer, the more you sacrifice, you'll be a better person for it. Right? No. Aren't you glad we don't have to do that in unity? Yeah. And that divides us from the mainstream. That's one thing that separates us from the mainstream Christian Judeo belief, is this idea that we have to sacrifice and suffer. The second thing I think that makes unity so unique is this, the honoring of divine uniqueness. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But there's this honoring of the divine uniqueness. And I need to tell you is that this is what sometimes separates us from many Eastern beliefs. And I'll talk about why in a moment. But the key distinction, I think, in this unity belief system that we're in that allows us to affirm the overreaching unity of all life and at the same time honoring our unique expression of that unity within us, so we have the broader scope and in us, I think that distinction is between personality and individuality. It's personality versus individuality. And this is basic unity metaphysics. I thought today I want to give a really good metaphysical talk. And this is basic. We have a wonderful textbook that we use in our metaphysics classes, Heart-Centered Metaphysics. And if you're interested, we have a couple copies. It'll tell you all about this unity, what our belief system is. And those of you who studied with us, with Bill and I, not too long ago, Metaphysics 1, Part 1, well, when we get to Metaphysics 1, Part 2, we'll be studying about this personality versus individuality. I want to talk about, this is what I want to talk about today. Now, remember, we are using terms that our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, used back in the early 1900s. They may not have the same definition as some of these words might today in modern psychology or sociology or other religious belief systems. But in unity, personality is defined as the sum total of characteristics that we choose consciously or unconsciously, because sometimes we're choosing, actually oftentimes we're choosing unconsciously, the characteristics we choose to express in our interactions with others. It's how we show up in the world. And that changes. not only day to day, but moment to moment, how you show up. Personality, it expresses our likes and our dislikes, our fears and our favorites, our attitudes, our beliefs. It's what we choose. It's the role that we choose to show up in any moment. Personality is our earthly persona. It's our ever-changing sense of self. It's that face that we choose to show others and that we choose to show the world. And it can change, right? It's not consistent. Depends who you're with. It depends what's going on around you. Now, in some Eastern belief systems, they recognize this facade, this false sense of self that is personality. And beyond that, they say there is a personality-free disillusion into the allness of being. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not crazy about that idea. I don't want to dissolve into the allness of being. I want to know that my uniqueness, what I have come here to be, matters. I want to know that I've made a difference in the world. And so in unity, I think Charles Fillmore's wonderful gift to us is that he understood that we can go beyond personality into what he called individuality. Individuality. And in unity, we defined individuality as that unique expression of God that is our true identity, that is our true self. And it's how we uniquely express the divine. And it's different, for you, and it's different for me. And so it defines our true life's purpose. It is that Christ of God expressing uniquely as me and uniquely as you. And we don't want to lose that uniqueness. And that's where we differ with many Eastern philosophies. We don't want to just dissolve into the allness of being. We keep our uniqueness because it's what I've come here to do and it's what you've come here to do in this human journey. Is that kind of clear? Is that, you're getting that? I think this is important because it's where we differ very much from other belief systems. It's like the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle, if you will. Each one is unique. Each one is essential. We need all the pieces to complete the picture, right? I might be a piece of sky, you might be a piece of water, but you and I are absolutely, the end product depends on both of us. And so it does no good for me to try to become water like you. It doesn't do any good for you to try to become sky. And I don't think it does any good for us to dissolve into something that has absolutely no image at all. We are each an individual part and expression and unique. We have a unique purpose here in this world that we have come to express, that no one else can express it like you can. And so there is this oneness, yet we have this uniqueness in this oneness. And that's why I think I love that about unity. I love that about this unity philosophy, is that we get to retain our uniqueness and our purpose in the knowing that we are one and we each have a role and a purpose. And so each of us is spiritually unique in ways that often have nothing to do with the personality that we're expressing to others. You know, we can put on and take off a number of personalities in the course of our lifetime. Well, who are we kidding? We can put on and take off a number of personalities in the course of a day, right? In the course of an hour. You know, and how you show up to your kids is different than how you show up to your spouse or your partner. Or, you know, how you're with your boss or your employees, or, you know, you're different here in this sanctuary during this 1 hour of service than you are when you get out to your car. It can change that quickly. Have you noticed? You can be sweet, loving, and life is great here. You walk out, you pick up a phone message, and all of a sudden everything, all hell breaks loose. You know, it can change in a moment. Charles Fillmore wrote a wonderful book. It's called The 12 Powers of Man. Now, remember, Charles is writing early 1900s. Don't get hung up on gender. When he talks about 12 powers of man, he really means the universal we. But in the time he was writing, you used masculine gender. So, but just when you hear man, as I read through this, know that it includes you, whether no matter who you are. It includes all of us. But Charles Fillmore writes in 12 Powers of Man, he says, man exists in the subconscious as a multitude of men. You ever felt that way, that there's like hundreds of people living inside your mind? And it's the one who clamors the loudest is who gets the attention. So man exists in the subconscious as a multitude of men. The wise man, the foolish man, the kind man, the cruel man, the loving man, the hateful man, the stingy man, the generous man, the weak man, the strong man, the happy man, the troubled man, the timid man, the courageous man, the sick man, the healthy man. You know, these and 1,000 other types of man are active personalities. As active personalities, occupy the consciousness of every human being. Doesn't that make you feel better? To know you're not crazy? You know, you don't have to work so hard to make other people not realize that there's hundreds of people living inside of you. And Charles Fillmore had a great expression for this. He called them thought people. Right? And this is hundreds of people living rent-free in your mind. And these thought people, the biblical equivalent of that would be the Hebrew people that Moses was leading out of Egypt. Right? There was this, you know, here's this wonderful spiritual energy that Moses represents. And trying to get all of these people, these thought people, these Hebrews, you know, going in, corralling them and trying to get them to go in the same direction. You know, well, it's like herding cats. And they go, but they're whining, moaning, and complaining all the way. Why do we have to leave Egypt? You know, where are we going? You know, we should have stayed back there even though we were slaves. You know, and it, a murmur, murmur, murmur. And the people were murmuring, just that grumbling energy that you can feel when the thought people inside your mind start going at each other. You know, you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. What do you mean? You can't do that. You know, all that kind of arguing that goes on with ourselves. And it's that murmuring of the thought people that are saying, you know, I don't think this is a good idea. I never thought this was a good idea. And so when we begin to move beyond personality and move into the infinite possibilities of individuality, then we begin to allow the Christ in us to express uniquely as us. And so that's what we want to do. We want to surrender the personality. And when we do that, those thought people feel like you're killing them. And they will probably say, what are you killing me here? You know, and that's what they truly believe, because that's what's happening. When we begin to move from personality to individuality, we tap into the Christ of our being through meditation, through prayer, through our spiritual practice, through forgiveness, through all of our wonderful tools that we have, then we begin to quiet that personality down, and those thought people literally die out because you're not paying any attention to them. You don't need to, because you pay attention to the Christ of your being, and that's where you're focused, on that Christ and letting that be what expresses in and through you. And those thought people, I guarantee you that the Hindus call it monkey mind, monkey chatter. You know, there's monkeys that are swinging from the tree. That monkey mind begins to calm down when you begin to spend more and more time in the quiet and in meditation. And so it's by moving through this experience that we can embrace joy and we can embrace the unique spiritual purpose of our own individuality. And so in unity, we believe that each one of us is a unique expression of all that God is. We are that unique expression. We've got talents to share, contributions to make, work to accomplish, and we have a life purpose. Each one of us is here for a specific, unique purpose in life that we are to find and we are to fulfill. And this allows us to appreciate our unique gifts. And it also allows us to appreciate the unique gifts of someone like a Dalai Lama, a Charles Fillmore, a Mother Teresa, and Dr. Martin Luther King, as they express and embody their unique purpose. You know, some people kind of get all bent out of shape and they say, well, if the Christ expresses equally in everybody, then I don't have to treat anyone differently than anyone else. Well, the truth is that the Christ expresses differently in every person. and to a different degree. I mean, look at the Dalai Lama. I don't know if you have ever been in the room when the Dalai Lama has walked in. I've had the great privilege. In fact, I was invited in Atlanta to sit on the platform when the Dalai Lama was teaching at Emory University. Now, talk about somebody walking in and the energy shifts. I mean, everything shifts when he walks in the room. Now, does that mean he has any more of the Christ in him than everybody else in the room? No. The same Christ is within everyone. But his uniqueness is in letting his light shine so brightly that we see and remember and we find, not worship the light in him, but we find the light in us. That's what's important. And that's what all spiritual teachers are about. Jesus Christ was a great example. He didn't come to get us to worship him. No. He came to show us the infinite possibilities in ourselves. That's what every spiritual teacher does. Begins to show us who we are. And so we have a divine purpose. We have unique gifts and talents to share while we're here on this earth plane. And we need to discover what they are and make sure that we are expressing them. And as the Christ, our true self, our individuality begins to emerge from us and our personality begins to decrease through more and more time spent in prayer and meditation and in spiritual study, the more we can do that, that we come to realize that the Christ within us seeking to express as us is us. That Christ is us in every cell of our being, in every decision that we make, in every moment of our lives. And we see this in Jesus. You know, he was so one with the Christ, with his unique purpose in life, that he said, when you see me, you see God. And isn't that what we all strive for? You know, when you see my face, you see the face of God. Because that's the truth. And Jesus came, he gave us such a clear purpose in our life. And I want to share that purpose with you just in case you don't know it. But we sing about it a lot. We talk about it a lot. In fact, we sang about it this morning. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, he says clearly, you're here to be light. That's your purpose. You're here to be that light. He goes on to say, bringing out the God colors in the world. I love this Message Bible. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a basket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I put you on a hilltop and I put you on a light stand, shine, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Isn't that great? I love that. You're here to shine. You're here to be light. So do it. Shine your light. Don't sit around waiting for, oh, what am I to do? This is it. Whatever you do and however you do that, if it's as a teacher, a lawyer, a doctor, a minister, whatever, you're here to shine your light. That's your purpose. And just figure out how to shine it as bright as you can. Pablo Casals, the famous cellist, he said this, every second we live is a new and unique moment of the universe, a moment that will never be again. And what do we teach our children? We teach them that 2 and 2 make 4 and that Paris is the capital of France. When will we teach them what they are? We should say to every one of them, do you know what you are? You are a marvel. You are unique. Isn't that wonderful? You are a marvel and you are unique. There is no one else like you. Never has been, never will be. So turn to someone around near you and say, you're a marvel. You're unique. Yeah. Say it to a couple of different people. Look around you. See how unique and wonderful and gorgeous everyone is. Yeah. Now, doesn't that feel good? You know, you are unique and you're a marvel. There's no one like you in this world. Shine your light. I love a Zen master once said, the miracle is not walking on water or walking on burning coals or even walking through walls. The real miracle is to walk on the earth and be aware. That's the real miracle, is to be aware and awake and know who you are and remember who you are. And you do that through being quiet and still and sitting in the silence and listening to that still small voice. Forget that those thought people in your mind. Listen to that still small voice. Be quiet. Listen for the guidance. Listen for the direction. And have a sense that of what you've come here to do that no one can do but you. Because you are a marvel. You are unique. And the more we can realize that, the more completely we'll be able to express and live our unique purpose that we have come here to give. And the more that we will be able to express who we are uniquely and, you know, with great love. And the more we'll be able to start living on purpose. God bless you in your uniqueness and as a marvel that you are. God bless you.